thought for today. A clear dream is simply said. A clear dream is simply said. A clear dream is simply said. We all have dreams. We all have visions. We all have enlightening experiences. We all have wonderment in our life. We have things that happen to us that delight us, that enthuse us, that encourage us, that make us into something very, very special. And then from that, we extrapolate a dream. We draw from it a dream. A dream to be a master, a dream to be a saint, a dream to be a noble, refined, delicate person, a dream to accomplish great things, to leave our mark on the world and say to the world, all is beautiful, all is good. We have this dream, everyone does, to be something wonderful. However, things come up in our life that take that dream and make a mockery of it. Things happen in our life that we seem to have no control over, and it makes us into very unhappy people for some reason or other. For instance, a person who is born with an illness, a person who is born without his limbs, or say, for instance, these children that are born after the Chernobyl incident in Russia. They're born without arms, without hands, without legs sometimes. Now, what do these children do to create that experience for themselves? They had to have these very special parents who themselves had radiation upon their body from the Chernobyl explosion when the atomic power plant in Russia blew up so many years ago. This is a very special situation to put yourself into. Not everybody thinks of putting themselves with a parent who had that sort of exposure. And then there are other parents who have gene situations that their genes are not exactly perfect, and the children come out with malfunctions of one sort or another. They come out with a brain that is too big, too small, a brain that sometimes is not there at all. It's a tough thing to do. The tough experience to have, we say. We say the idiot is born without a full deck of cards and he doesn't have an opportunity to be his perfect divine self. And now let's look at the other side of the coin. We say that a Mozart, born with such genius and his father spending Mozart's entire life training him in music, training him to be a performer, training him to go out and write music and to bring forth the magic that is within him. The poor child didn't have a chance for a childhood. There are many illustrations on that side. Now let's go to the other side there. The kids love to play baseball. They play baseball, they play baseball, they play baseball, or soccer, but play baseball. And they're playing baseball. They're playing baseball every time school ends, during the recess in school. They carry a ball with them all the time. They got it in their hand all the time. They're just so thrilled with baseball that this is their dream, their life. And they grow up and want to play on major league teams or minor league teams. They want to play whenever they can. They go into the back lot and they play with the children. And they teach the children how to play ball. They become famous and wealthy. And what do? In their spare time, they go around teaching children how to play ball. They teach adults how to play baseball. They teach the world how to do what they love to do. Now, they had a very stinted, limited childhood. Always playing ball. Poor Mozart. Always writing music, No time for anything else. Who is the limited person? Take a person who is in a wheelchair all his life, and he has to naturally direct his attention to things that would allow it to be done in the wheelchair. But there are some idiots, some absolute idiots, who will not let a wheelchair limit them. They get out there and they have wheelchair races. They get out there and they get into marathons. They get out there and they do all sorts of things. Yesterday, as I was leaving Target, putting the basket back in its place, I saw a woman attempting to get into her car. She was sitting in a wheelchair, and she was taking her legs and throwing them into her van, which was quite high. And then she was working her way into her van herself. And then I didn't stay to watch the whole show, but she surely brought the wheelchair in somehow too. Now, that's just a poor, poor woman who can't do anything for herself. She has to have a man do everything for her. Not this woman. This woman said, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to go shopping, and I'm going to live as normal a life as I can conceive of myself of living. And with her valiant spirit, she accomplished her goals. She didn't have a beautiful van. It was an older van, but it was okay. But it was her van, her means of transportation. Her wheelchair fit in there somehow. She got in there somehow. And as I watched her for a moment, throwing her legs into the car and trying to hoist herself up in there, I thought, what a noble person. Now, she may be a bitchy woman. She may be an unhappy mother. She may be many things. I doubt that. But she's a noble woman for taking her adversity and not letting it limit her. And you and I, we have nice bodies. We have nice minds. We have nice community that we live in. We have talents that would allow us to work anywhere in the world and make a good living for ourselves. You might say we have everything. But we're the ones who are limited because we have nothing that challenges us. Oh, our attitude challenges us, that's true. Our feeling that we should have other things that we don't have and we should have rights that we don't have, that challenges us. But when we take hold of ourselves and we realize that that is the gift that is given to us to polish our diamond, we look at it with a different light. The man in the wheelchair may not say his wheelchair and his problem are his gift that polish his diamond. He may not think that, but it is so. The children of Chernobyl may not think that their limited limbs, which are miniature and reduced, they may not think that that is their gift. But it is their gift. It is their gift that they chose to have before they were born. The gift they chose to experience before they entered into this life. The experience they chose to have with the parents they chose to have and the environment they chose to be in. They chose all of that. The children who live in India in poverty, in America, and around the world in poverty. You don't have to go to India for that. They chose that. Now, are they going to let that limit them? Oh, they may have emaciated bodies. They may not have a weight problem. Nothing like that to be concerned with. But they have a hunger problem. And they learn how to handle that. They learn how to handle that very well. Some die. Most live. A clear dream is simply said. These things I've said to you now are interesting, perhaps. But think about them, and think about the gift, the dream that you have. John gave a very delightful talk this morning, and in his talk, he showed himself to be a very fine and noble being. But I'm sure there are times that John felt perhaps he is a little taller than the rest. It might be nice to be a normal height. Or John felt that perhaps it might have been nice to have been raised in England, where his parents had come from, instead of New Zealand, because England has so much to offer. There might have been moments in John's life when he thought, gee, it would have been nice to be in a big family with 5 or 10 kids, wow. And other times it'd be nice to be a single child and have my parents all to myself. You know, we all have these little dreams. We have these dreams, as we call them, a passing fancy, but they're real. And when you have a clear understanding of the dream that you have, it allows you to have a greater appreciation for what you do have. Because if John were to think it'd be nice to be a single child, then only a second later he says, how wonderful for my family. How wonderful for my brother and sister, right? How wonderful for these people in my family that made it so beautiful. In my family, there were 5 children. And the 3 older ones and the 1 younger one, I was sort of like an island, untouched by the olders and untouched by the youngers, pretty much. And I went through my life alone and yet surrounded by brothers and sisters. I went through my life alone because that was my way. Up, down. That was my way. Turn it on and off. No, off. That was my way to go through this, to have this experience. And once I went through this experience, I realized that I really was my own dreamer. And I never had dreams of having brothers and sisters. I had them. And if I wanted to, I could just turn to them and enjoy them. I had those experiences of doing that, and I was in charge. I was in charge totally of my world. And it was a wonderful thing. And it was a wonderful experience to go through. And Sylvia, if you disconnect it at the wall, it won't ring in here. Thank you. To have the phone ring in the middle of our talk is a little disconcerting. However, I'm sure there's someone there who wants to tell us some magical, mystical miracle, and we'll hear about it later in the day. Now, it's a dream that the phone doesn't ring during our talks, and most of the time it does not. But what happens? What happens when we create it ringing? What happens when we create this? It's all our choice. Now, some of you may have great curiosity and say, is that Gertrude? Is that Gregor? Is that someone calling the prayer ministry? Asking for prayer? We say, bless you, you're whole and perfect now. Is that perhaps some great tragedy that we need to have our attention addressed to? Or is that someone calling and wanting to have a subscription to the GIST? Whatever we imagine it to be, whatever we dream it to be, so it is for us. Like the emergency vehicle dashing out on the road, and I say, going to take a lady to the hospital to have a baby. She's in a rush to have the baby. or the baby's in a rush to be born. And it takes it all out of that tragedy area. Our life is so easily a tragedy because we have things, dreams that we have left unfulfilled. We have dreams that we would like to have accomplished, and we haven't fulfilled them. And why haven't we fulfilled them? We haven't fulfilled them because we just haven't done them. What dream do you have? What clear dream do you have, simply said, to reflect who you are and what you want in life? What dream do you have? Think about the dreams that you have once. You'd like to be a master, you say. All right. How could you simply, clearly say, I want to be a master, or I am a master? How could you simply, clearly say such a thing and demonstrate it in your life? Well, you take a sheet of paper and you write down what you think a master is, how you think a master acts, how you think a master thinks, how you think a master expresses a master self. And when you write this down, then you'll say, I'm doing all those things. These are the things that I'm not doing right now. And then a dream, simply said, can be fulfilled. You say, I want to go to the great gurus of the world and train as a master. And I say to you, wonderful. Go to the great gurus and train as a master. But just remember, they're going to say one thing to you. You be the master of yourself. They're going to say one thing to you. They're going to say, you already are a master. Open your eyes. They're going to say to you one thing. You are God. Stop pretending that you're not. Stop pretending that you're not the creator of your world, that you're not the one who determines every thought you're going to think. Stop pretending that. It's just a pretense on your part. And so now you have just traveled the world to all the great gurus and heard what they had to say. Now is the time for you to do something about it. Stop reading books, studying, searching, looking, and start applying. I don't actually mean stop doing those things. I mean stop figuratively doing those things. Stop letting those things be an excuse. When we live our life in such a way that it's a pure excuse, when it's an, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry. Someone tells you, my dog died. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. No, you aren't. You really don't give a damn. Their dog died, then their dog died. That's all right. You merely say, thank you for that information. I didn't know that. I know that your dog was a very wonderful dog. You enjoyed having the dog as long as you had him. That's great. Oh, my husband died. Hey, cool. You got another one in mind? Or are you going to be single for a while? Boy, are you crass. No. I'm just jumping ahead a few steps. Because you'll get over the fact that he died, and you'll appreciate the fact that you had had him. And then now life goes on. Life goes on, unless you want to die too. Jump on his grave, on his funeral pyre, as the people in India oftentimes do. It's not bad. It just sounds bad when it is done more quickly than they expected. We watched Chocolat, and I think it was probably in the current century, it seemed like it probably was. And the woman's husband died in the First World War. And she was still mourning him, because she was supposed to mourn him according to the Bible and according to the community rule. And then what happened? Someone who had had a mad crush on her all these years got up the courage to say, "Hey, I like you. I'd like to get to know you better. I'd like to marry you." And we are not shown that scene, but I presume they end up living happily ever after together. But you see, how long will you mourn? How long will you feel sorry for yourself that you haven't acted upon the greatness that you are? How long will you think that you must act in sadness and wear your black band on your on your sleeve saying that someone died in your family, or wearing black clothes? My goodness, thank goodness that's gone out of style. Dream your dream. Dream it right now. What do you want to do? You can do it right here. You can do whatever you want to dream right here. Or you can go wherever you want to do and do your dream. It's perfectly okay. But remember, a clear dream is simply said. Clean up your dream of all that garbage that surrounds it, that tells you that you're limited, that tells you that you can't do it. What did John do this morning when he went into the restroom and he met this most desirable creature in the restroom? All of us were thinking, my goodness, is that really proper? Is that the proper place to meet somebody very special? Is that the proper place, as John would say, to meet J.C.? And he said Jesus Christ, but he meant John Charles. And you see, he went in there and he saw this very handsome young man with no long hair, no beard, beautiful blue eyes, a little taller than he thought Jesus was. But he recognized him instantly. And how beautiful that is. Can we stand before the mirror and recognize who we are? John's got a head start with the first initials, JC, you know. We got a head start too. What does Gerd do? Gerd does his meditation before a mirror. And he enjoys the meditation with the most important person in his life. Not his wife or his dog or cat or his children, but himself. And we have a right to say that. Right to say that? We have no right or a right. That's just the fact. Who do you greet every morning when you brush your teeth? Who do you look at in the mirror every morning when you get up and wash your face? You wash the sleep out of your eyes, and who do you see? You see God. You have the greatest dream that you could ever have by opening your eyes and seeing that beauty and that wonder that you are. A clear dream is simply said. It's a wonderful thing. But begin now to start thinking of how you're going to define your dream. I'm sincere, and I say, take a sheet of paper and write it down. I really mean that. Take a sheet of paper and write down what your dream is for yourself, what you think is what you really want to do, and begin to envision it for yourself. And when you envision it for yourself, then you're putting feet under it, you're putting wheels under it. You're giving it the possibility of rolling and acting and being. You see, somebody who is born with a baseball in their hand, and many children are, what does a father do when he knows he's going to have a son? He runs out and buys a football or a baseball or something. My gosh, the kid is so big and the baseball is about a third his size. But the father has great expectations. And what does the mother do? The mother cannot wait to put beautiful little dresses on that little baby. The baby doesn't care about all this finery. The baby would love to be naked all the time, but no, mama has to put layers and layers of clothes on the baby and then get angry because the baby gets dirty. But you see, vicariously, we want to live out our dreams through our children or through the people in our lives. And we should not waste that time. If we think the child would look lovely in pretty clothes, have pretty clothes yourself then. Go out and use the same wonderful taste you use for your child for yourself, not baby clothes for yourself. A lot of women like to dress in baby clothes. They look like they're, you know, babies that just blew up. But and don't go out and buy baseballs and footballs for your infant son who isn't going to do a thing about it for at least 3 or 4 years, and maybe longer than that. But take it easy. Go out and buy yourself a baseball or a football and go and play in the lot with the kids or with the neighbor men. You know, if you would go down the street of your suburban community and you would meet your neighbors, which is itself a very wonderful thing to do, if you'd meet your neighbors and then you say, you know, John, I sure like to throw baseballs around. Well, Garrett, have you got one? Yes, I do. Well, come on, let's go in the backyard and catch a few. And then the neighbor's looking over the fence. Hey, let's have a game. Let's go down to the vacant lot over here and have a game. And so these men, all executives, all businessmen, all workmen from various forms of life, they go down to the corner lot and they're playing ball, just like a bunch of kids, having a wonderful time. Maybe 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, maybe an hour. And as usual, they take the baseball bat, and they hit the ball and crash into one of their windows. And they say, we better watch that aim. Or they're in the backyard, and the neighbors are peeking over, and they hear the click, 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 click. And as they look over the fence, here's this guy, a Sunday putter. He's got the golf ball in the backyard, and he's chipping it, he's putting it, he's chipped. And they say, hey, come on, can we be a twosome? I got my clubs, too. I'll play with you. Sure, come on. And the other neighbors look over, hey, can we join you? And they bring their putters. They say, hey, let's open our backyards. And let's have an extended backyard where we have a green and, you know, a driving range and so forth. Hey, that's cool. And you know, people who play golf have perhaps a better skill at directing the ball where they want it to go than people who bat the ball, because oftentimes the ball goes through the window. But very seldom does the golf ball go through. And they're having fun. They're dreaming their dream. You say, well, Herb, you make it sound so easy. No. Write your dream down on a sheet of paper. Really, write it down. Write down whatever your dreams may be. If you're a paraplegic in a wheelchair, if you're a Chernobyl child who has missing limbs, if you're what is called a normal human being that's got it all well put together but mentally just haven't figured out who you are, write it down. Don't write like Anita does. She takes one word and puts it on a sheet of paper. Write down so that you do like Dodie does. Dodie, our 84-year-old friend, she wrote on the back of her letter, she wrote maybe about 40 words on the back of that letter in perfect, clear script that was easy to read, no shakiness for 84 years. She's really on it. a beautiful being. And what did she do? She said, thank you for being my friends. Thank you for being in my world. Thank you for caring about me. I know you're too busy to write back, but thank you. Well, we're not too busy to write back. We're not too busy to return the thank you and to live by the great expectations she has of us, of being the most beautiful beings in the world, her dream fulfilled. You have your dream now. Fulfill your dream and watch it become more magical and mystical than you ever dreamed possible. A clear dream is simply said. A clear dream is simply said. A clear dream is simply said. And so it is.